think I'm entitled?
You want answers!
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
The Middle East region is quieter today than it has been in two decades. Now, challenges remain. Iran's nuclear weapons program, the tensions between Israelis and Palestinians. But the amount of time that I have to spend on crisis and conflict in the Middle East today compared to any of my predecessors going back to 9/11 is significantly reduced.
Yeah, that's what he said, Jake Sullivan, speaking out as to how well he has things under control 8 days before Hamas terrorists attacked Israel. And there he was stating, as National Security Advisor, we got it all covered. Better than any of my predecessors, we've got things under control. Based on those statements he made 8 days before the Hamas terrorists moved into Israel. Just 8 days before, it still amazes me that he could stand there and say that. And he had to know about some intel that the Wall Street Journal, New York Times have already stated, as we've reported to you, that there was increasing intel that it's unrest building, something's happening, something going on. Nothing was being done about it. And to that extent, not even by the Israelis. Did they not trust the intel or something? But for him to stand there and affirm everything's good, and 8 days later, all hell breaks loose. For that reason, one of many, Tennessee Senator Marshall Blackburn is calling for his head and wants him chopped off, basically, and removed. They're working on it. Thank you for joining us. This is October 17, 2023. We are in the second hour of Larry Connors USA. Monday through Friday, you find us right here, 6 to 8 p.m. for you. And when on the air, we're streaming video from the studio. You're getting that at Larry Connors USA Facebook or Twitter, News Talk STL Facebook or Twitter, or on Rumble. If you miss any of it, you go to LarryConnorsUSA.com and you've got access to all of it again. And then you can share it with others as well. Of course, the big news is Biden in Israel. Now, exactly what he plans on saying has not been made clear, other than he was going to have a meeting with Benjamin Netanyahu. Although I'll remind you that he snubbed Netanyahu the last time he was at the States, didn't even invite him to the White House. But we do know that in that 60 Minutes interview over the weekend, Biden warned Israel against occupying Gaza. He said it'd be a big mistake for Israel to occupy Gaza. Of course, Israel's ready to send the battalions of troops in after they continue shelling the Gaza Strip, trying to reduce any threats to their troops, and also maybe still trying to get some hostages from the terrorists out before they move in. But again, from Biden at the time, he said, what happened in Gaza, in my view, is Hamas and the extreme elements of Hamas don't represent all the Palestinian people. He did believe that Hamas should be eliminated entirely, but there needs to be a Palestinian authority. There needs to be a path to a Palestinian state. I don't know how that's going to sit if he tries to reinforce those statements with Benjamin Netanyahu. I'm worried about him being there anyway with advance notice going out. Biden did make a trip into Ukraine, which is also a war zone at the time he went, but it was kept secret until he was out of the country. This advance notice going out, I have a lot of questions about it. One, is that even advisable for security of the president? And we're hearing from various sources in the White House, and they're being public. They're not eyeing out. They're just saying, well, we're going to do everything we can to make sure the president's safe. Well, you damn well better. He's our commander-in-chief. But the other reason, the questions I have about it is why now, when he could have gone several days ago, why go after your Secretary of State goes, then the Defense Secretary, and then the information that they're indicating he's going to be getting, he could get anyway. over the phone, probably already has. I'm looking at it as he just wants that photo op. And again, keep distraction from anything with the... I know I'm going to irritate some of you by saying it, but I'm not going to stop it. Build on the distraction. Take any eyes and attention away from the investigation of the Biden crime family. Either way, I pray he gets in and out safely. I don't want our president harmed in any way, nor those around him. But this administration still will not acknowledge Iran had a role in the Hamas attack. They just won't do it. And, of course, one of the reasons, because this comes less than a month after the White House announced, we're going to work on a deal with Iran, we're going to unfreeze money being held in Qatar, and $6 billion will be available for Iran for humanitarian uses only. And no sooner than those words be completed by the administration, Iran began to claim the Ayatollah, we will do damn well what we want with the money. And they will. And of course, then the White House said, well, they didn't get the money when Hamas went in. They didn't have it yet. It's still frozen. But then they were still not talking about freezing it again. And then they did. And then maybe they didn't. Again, this is here we go again. Turn signal politics. It's on, it's off. It's on, it's off. Tennessee Senator Blackburn says, refreeze the money and do it now.
When you look at the fact that this $6 billion was released, and this is why I have called and 19 Republican senators have joined me in calling for this money to be refrozen and Iran to never get their hands on this money. The Ayatollah has praised this attack by Hamas. We also know that President Trump cut the aid to the UN Relief and Work Agency for Palestinian Refugees. He cut it. Joe Biden, since he went into office, has put $730 million into that agency. They routinely employ people affiliated with Hamas. We know that Hamas uses these agency facilities to store some of their weapons.
And in fact, as the Israeli troops were moving through parts of southern Israel where Hamas came in, they began to find several weapons, and a PBS reporter was with them. And the PBS correspondent said, we have also found Iranian-made mortar rounds, Iranian-made. Then there was a clip of an Israeli defense soldier stating, this is made in Iran, no doubt about it. There's your linkage if you had any doubt, and which most of us do not. The White House probably doesn't either. They just want to deny. They don't have doubt, they just want to deny. They've been misleading us on that, and we know it. And they've also been misleading us on that they're really protecting the U.S. When Mayorkas goes forward and says, everything is good at the border, we got everything under control, we don't need to worry, and now we see what Hamas did going into Israel, and you have to question how many are in this country right now belong to either Hamas, Hezbollah, the Taliban, ISIS, or any other group that wants to destroy America from inside out. And then Iowa Senator Joni Ernst points out, when you start counting the special agents, you get a better idea. But before we get into that in more detail, McCarthy is also speaking out about Biden and how he's been handling Iran.
We all know that Iran has been involved. He doesn't want to acknowledge the $6 billion or the $60 billion he's provided by not enforcing the sanctions like President Trump did. But the real challenge here is that was the same reason that he believes our border is secure. What about the Iranians we're catching coming across our border down in Texas in just the last few days? That's a concern I have. What type of cells do we have in America now as well?
And that's the point. That is, again, back to how many are coming across the border. When Mayorkas, they all say, the border's good, we're controlling it, don't worry about terrorists coming across. I want you to hear from Iowa Senator Ernst on these special interest aliens.
CBP reported last month that there are 8,000 people from those countries that were apprehended. That's 1,000 more than we saw in August. So this is a national security risk, one that could have been solved years and years ago if only we had been allowed by the Democrats to secure our border. Isn't it interesting that you've seen a 180 coming from the president on actually building the wall? I think they are recognizing now that the risk to our own country has increased exponentially with this open border situation. So don't listen to Mayorkas. He's saying, oh, the border is secure. No, it is not. This is a national security risk.
We know it is. We fear that suddenly there could be that day that they're all going to rise up at one time. In the meantime, you've got members of Congress, progressives, calling for Israel to start a ceasefire. Well, the response from Dov Hikine, who's founder of the Americans Against Antisemitism, is very direct.
These radicals in the Congress, they're sick, they're pathetic. If their mothers, sisters would have been massacred, butchered, raped, the way innocent Jews were raped and butchered, they would have a different position than calling for a ceasefire. They are sick, sick, sick people in the Democratic Party. I don't even know what to say. I mean, it is so horrible. A ceasefire so we can go back to the same situation. We're up to 1,400 dead people, way over 1,000 of them being civilians. What country in the world would permit this?
None. None. Let me read you the resolution or parts of it as presented by Congresswoman Cori Bush. Some of you listening out there, did you vote for her? Was she, along with Tlaib and others of known renown of being with the squad, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, Jamal Bowman, Ayanna Pressley, so forth, announcing a resolution urging the Biden administration to call for an immediate de-escalation and ceasefire in Israel and occupied Palestine? And the beginning statement kind of says everything. This was the statement written by Congresswoman Bush in presenting her resolution. I am grieving for every Palestinian. First words out, every Palestinian. No, Cori Bush is not Palestinian. I am grieving for every Palestinian, Israeli. No, she's not Jewish. I'm grieving for every Palestinian, Israeli, and American life there. Finally, we get to Americans. I am grieving for every Palestinian, Israeli, and American life lost to this violence, and my heart breaks for all those who will be forever traumatized because of it. So I am introducing the Ceasefire Now resolution, vital legislation calling for de-escalation, immediate ceasefire in Israel, and occupied Palestine. Those words, occupied Palestine, tells you exactly her viewpoint. She added, the U.S. bears a unique responsibility to exhaust every diplomatic tool at our disposal to prevent mass atrocities and save lives. We can't bomb our way to peace, equality, and freedom. I guess she doesn't know much about World War II and how that ended, does she? The Japanese do. No one likes to get peace that way. But it's back to those who criticize, why do we even have a military? We have it so we don't have a war. I've never met a Marine or of any member of any service saying, boy, I want to get in there and I want to take and kill the enemy. If you're under attack or you're going back after them, yes, if it's a war situation. But if you can avoid war, that is why you have a strong military. Of course, unfortunately, with our current military, they're more being prepped for pronoun culture than mission achievement. And as far as Cori Bush saying we should have a ceasefire, her resolution reads again, saying we're calling for a ceasefire to de-escalate. She thinks that would de-escalate things. Once again, Dov Hykind, who was in Israel and going from through some of these homes, finding the victims slaughtered, he said there is not going to be any ceasefire the way you want it.
Well, I can guarantee them, the radicals in the Congress, the sickos in Congress and the Democratic Party, and the ones who demonstrated outside of the White House, if you were here with me yesterday when I visited these communities, and we went through the homes and what was done to people, maybe they'd have a different position or maybe they wouldn't care. But I can guarantee you one thing, guarantee right now, there will be no ceasefire, and I will guarantee you right now that Hamas will cease to exist in due time. And that is the only way to do things. It's what America did with ISIS. It's what the Allies did in World War II.
Yeah, we did. But I guess, again, Cori Bush is not aware of the history. The only way Germany went down is, of course, they were trying to fight on two fronts against the Soviet Union and everyone else in the world. And finally, we got control of that. But then Japan was still holding out. And sending troops into Japan was going to be highly, highly costly in lives for Americans and Japanese, and not just the troops, but civilians. And, of course, with Truman's decision to use the first nuclear weapon, many civilians obviously killed. And unfortunately, he had to authorize a second one before Japan would acknowledge we are defeated. So for Cori Bush to say we cannot bomb our way to peace, that's what we had to do. It's not what we wanted to do. There wouldn't have been a second bomb if the emperor had surrendered it after the first one. And I remind you again, when they're talking about all the humanitarian aid, yes, we have efforts to try to get humanitarian aid to the Gaza residents, along with the UN and others, but trying to get in, not easy. And as far as where the refugees are going to go, if you missed the first hour, let me give you a capsulated report on that. They're not going to be allowed to go into Egypt. Egypt has said, we're not going to take refugees from Gaza. And yet they border with the Gaza Strip. The King of Jordan said, we're not taking them. Gaza residents, Arabs, Israelis, Palestinians, do live side by side each other in parts of the in that country, Israel in particular. Maybe not in full peace, but begrudgingly, but they do their best to get along. It's not a fight every day. And they basically do live in peace until something like this gets carried out. Coming up, the hostages, what's being done to that, and to get Americans out of harm's way. We need them back. Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
I want to share something special with you. I've told you how Wellington Environmental works to keep hospitals, schools, businesses safe for their patients, students, clients, employees. Wellington can do the same for you. Perfect example. A relative went to the basement, almost knocked over by the smell. A sewer line had broken. A call to Wellington, a crew was dispatched. First thing, make the home safe. Then clean up the mess. Truly clean it up. Now, I'm telling you this because I want the best for you. Wellington Environmental. Here's the number, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau. 844-4930. Wellington Environmental. Your world. Cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington.
Talk radio made in St. Louis.
Very excited for what you guys are doing for the St. Louis community.
For St. Louis.
Relevant local talk.
Saying what we are thinking.
This is News Talk STL.
You guys are awesome. I love you. And really, it's a tremendous honor to be on the station.
News, analysis, and opinion.
Thanks for covering the local angle.
Come on, people. This is America.
We better open our eyes.
Really local. Really good.
News Talk STL at 101.9, 94.1,
and NewsTalkSTL.com.
As a truck driver, I've learned how important road safety is. I know that large trucks need more time and room to stop. That's why I always hang back and follow other vehicles at a safe distance. Everyone can help keep our roads safe. Next time you're driving, try to remember to always give trucks extra space when you merge in front of them. Let's all plan to share the road safely. Learn how at www.sharetheroadsafely.gov.
This is Christina Strait with Strait Realty reminding you why pay more than four. In 2003, we had a dream to start a real estate company that would revolutionize the real estate market. Now, 20 years later, after navigating through the many markets' ups and downs, we know exactly how to help you in this challenging time. I'm Christina Strait, owner of Strait Realty. Don't give away your hard-earned equity. Give us a call today, 314-441-4444, 314-441-ALL-4s. And remember, why pay more than four?
Strait Realty is a licensed broker in the state of Missouri.
There's no place to hide down here. No place to hide down here. Went to the rock, got on my knees. I heard the angels weep for me. No place to hide down here.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
There should be no reason for them to have any hostages in the first place. And number two, we're obviously working very, very hard with our partners in the region to secure the release of all the hostages. We know there's a small number of Americans, but all of them need to come home and be with their families. And we're working on that very, very hard. I can't predict what Hamas means when they say conditions permit, and I think we need to take any statement by Hamas with a huge grain of salt. What we're focused on is securing their release, and we'd like to have that happen, you know, today, immediately, if possible. But we'll see where things go.
Yeah, we have to see where things go on the hostages being held by Hamas. That would include U.S. citizens. How many, we're not sure, and of course Israelis. We do know that among those killed during the Hamas attack Saturday, week ago, there were representatives, citizens of 15 different nations. They might hold dual citizenship, but they also had citizenship either in the U.S. or Germany or somewhere else, but they were in Israel. Now, hostages and getting them out is a critical issue. That might explain as to why we have not seen the Israeli Defense Forces actually go their ground, full ground assault, the full ground assault. They've been pounding the area and probably selective targets based on intel they have, and they might have killed some of the hostages being held. But there was an IDF spokesman stating, we did give information to Hamas, which we didn't want to, but we had a reason. He said, we advertised our intentions. He said, it's generally not wise for a military to be advertising intentions. And yet we're aware we just advertised our intentions by civilians, by telling civilians to get out of that area of Gaza. He said, why have we done that? Because we want civilians out of the fighting. We don't want them killed. So there's a balance between achieving a military objective and minimizing civilian damage. In this case, which is very evident, you cannot argue with it, we have chosen to go with the sanctity of life and helping Palestinian civilians get out, or there will be significant combat activities. That is a risk. We have to mitigate this risk with our tactics, the weapons, the time we use, and when and how we will operate. There is a tremendous desire in Israel to see Hamas defeated, to see the scourge of the terror gone from Gaza. But Israelis want to do it smartly, in a way that does not expose our troops to any undue danger in an already dangerous battlefield. And again, I'll reemphasize for him and to protect as many civilians as possible. The issue is also that when you tell the Gaza residents to get out of this area, go to another area, Hamas hears it too. So it is telegraphing to them what your intentions are, and then they will either not allow the residents to leave and a chance to live. They're going to keep them and use them as shields, and our Hamas leaders and our equipment will go with some of them in a safer area so they can continue to fight. And then once again, you've got another area that has to be evacuated, hopefully free of civilians, before you move in. Now, that's getting hostages out of the hands of Hamas. We have one Florida congressman, Corey Mills, who was looking at what are we doing to get Americans out of Israel that want to get out there. They are in harm's way just being in Israel at that point. U.S. commercial flights were discontinuing flights into Israel for that very reason. They didn't want their crews or be held responsible for endangering anyone. So Florida Congressman Mills did what our government should have been doing.
We're proud to say that we've successfully pulled out 96 Americans who are trapped and stranded in successful ground evacuations out of Israel. Many of these individuals had been trying to get out for 4, 5, and 6 days. The first day, we went more towards the Golan area, so places like Tiberias, places like Nazareth, and Haifa up on the coast, able to rescue 32 on that first day. The second day, we were able to move through the West Bank, through a lot of the Palestinian-controlled areas, and then into Jerusalem, where we were able to get another 45 out. We have a charter that went out yesterday successfully. I'm going to continue to work on air and ground evacuation capabilities until every single American who wants to go and wants to leave and get to safety has that opportunity.
And Congressman Mills was prompted to move and move quickly after a story appeared in the New York Post highlighting the story of an American trapped in Israel with a California-based church group that had been on a tour of the Holy Land when the Jewish state was attacked October 7th. He has expertise and contacts in that region of the world. For 1999-2004, he was in the U.S. Army, member of the 82nd Airborne Division, 2005-2009, security specialist for DynCorp, which is also operating in that region of the world. Also worked in anti-piracy advisor for special technical services. In other words, he's aware of the risk. He knows how to handle it. And he decided we're going to start taking charter flights in ourselves. And right after that, then he came the word from the Pentagon, actually from the State Department, announcing the U.S. would begin chartering flights out of Israel for Americans. Really? But they were also putting a statement with it at the time, you will be expected to pay for your flight. I don't see Congressman Mills charging anybody he got out of Israel or any ones they're still trying to get out. The hostage issue is different. But again, you have to question, are we doing everything possible and have we been doing it? And that question comes as well from Senator Joni Ernst of Iowa.
We have seen such slow action coming out of the White House. I continue to press the administration on the rescue of these hostages. We must not forget that there are mothers and fathers and brothers and sisters out there that are praying for the safe release of their loved ones. And yet we haven't heard much coming out of this administration. Now, Tuesday, when I was in Israel, one of the very first phone calls that I made was to our special envoy for hostages, Roger Karstens, to discuss the situation and press the issue. We cannot forget that there are Americans being held in the Gaza Strip. 30 Americans killed that we know of so far, and an additional 13 that are being held. We must not forget them, and we must act quickly.
Yeah, we do. But of course, this is a delicate area. It's in a region controlled by Hamas. The Israeli Defense Force is overseeing the action that moves forward. But the administration, when they wanted to let you know and tell you that we're doing everything we can, they were not even operating to get Americans in the safer zones of Israel that were not down in the Gaza Strip out of Israel. They did not send military planes for U.S. citizens to get on to return to the States. Now they say they're going to charter some flights. Why are we spending money doing that when we've got U.S. transport planes that could be used for it? And then telling the citizens, oh, you'll have to pay for your rescue, by the way.
Really?
Now, video got released of one of the hostages, not an American, last night. And this was a young Israeli woman in her 20s. She appeared to be in basically good health. Her face didn't look like she was that excited. In fact, looked terrorized when you got down to it. And John Kirby of the White House said, we know what she was facing.
There's no question in my mind that that woman gave that video testimony under duress, probably forced to do it. It's a propaganda video much more than it is proof of life or certainly proof of concept for Hamas. It's despicable, deplorable that they would take these hostages and then advertise how well they're treating them when they are the ones who hurt them in the first place. So it's reprehensible. Again, all these hostages need to be back with their families right now.
Yeah, we would certainly hope for that, but let me bring you up to the latest I see here, and that is that diplomats continue to do their thing. Let me see. This story keeps changing quickly, but they are working on, obviously, what they can to get the hostages released. I don't see Hamas simply letting them go at any point. There was a number that circulated a moment ago saying that they've now identified that there were 199 being held hostage. I'm not sure if that's actually verifiable or not, and I don't see anything confirming how many were actually from the U.S. I see different numbers, but it doesn't verify it. The rabbi of a Chicago mother and daughter, they're being held apparently hostage, and they're stating in this piece that they're held in Israel, not in the Gaza Strip. Again, some of this reporting coming out, I question. I'm not saying I think it's wrong. I just question. Are there hostages still being held actually in southern Israel? Well, if that's true, then yes, we should be more active on that. But everything I'm seeing here right now, the response has been that diplomats are ramping up talks on aid for Gaza. Egypt is still under pressure to open up a corridor for the civilians fleeing the enclave. Oh, and Israel is now saying Hamas has 199 hostages. I don't know how they've confirmed that, but that's their statement from Israel. Some fuel trucks, UN fuel trucks, have been entering Gaza from the Rafah crossing. That's where Egypt borders Gaza. But Gaza is not letting any of the residents come in to Egypt and flatly saying, we don't want them. Now, that's an issue. What's going to happen with those inside there as refugees? And at some point, I want to deal with that and more coming up, including those who continue to cry out and say, Israel's going too far. They should say, we've done enough. Let's back off. Would you do that? I have to ask you, would you do that if they had done what they did to Israeli citizens?
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
This time of year, heavy rains, high winds, they can hit. And if you have any loose shingles, even the smallest hole in your roof, you're taking a major gamble with your biggest investment. I can tell you from personal experience, do not wait until you have water where it shouldn't be. Don't forget that John Beale has disaster crews, which can at least cover your roof until the damage can be fully repaired. Homeowner, business owner, call John Beale. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. Ackerman Toyota has the 2024 models. You're going to be impressed. Check them out in person at Ackerman Toyota, Hampton and Interstate 44. In fact, you've got to see the 2024 Toyota Sequoia. Very impressive. This is the time to buy and get top dollar for your vehicle. Looking for pre-owned? Ackerman Toyota can also help you. Ackerman Toyota at Hampton and 44. AckermanToyota.com. Ackerman Toyota for life. This is a scary time when it comes to your money, especially if buying a home. That's why you need Homestead Financial Mortgage. I know the owners, met the team. You can trust Homestead will be with you every step of the way. Call 24/7 with any question or concern. Homestead is on your schedule, not banker's hours. This is not just about buying a home. It's about trust. You can go to my website, larry.homesteadfinancial.com. larry.homesteadfinancial.com.
The United States Deputy Sheriff's Association is a national nonprofit and the largest non-governmental provider of services to law enforcement. The USDSA assists city, county, state, and federal agencies with free safety equipment donations and officer survival training, along with cash donations to families of law enforcement officers who perish in the line of duty, a citizen awareness program, and more. For more information on United States Deputy Sheriff's Association, please visit usdeputy.org.
If you like premium cigars and whiskey, I've got the perfect place. Lit Cigar Lounge, now open in its new space in the district, just off Highway 40 in Chesterfield. Lit Cigars for anyone who enjoys great cigars, whiskey, bourbon, tequila. Ladies, that includes you. Leather seating, numerous big screen TVs, special events featuring live music and tastings. More details at litstl.com. litstl.com. Lit Cigar Lounge in Chesterfield.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
We've talked previously about how much the Israelis might have missed on intel, that maybe Hamas was preparing something that they carried out, maybe working on it for up to 2 years. The plans actually put together originally by one of the terrorists that Trump took out, but that he had apparently had a hand in developing what they were going to be doing. And that would be crossing the buffer zone, cutting through the wire, the fence itself, shutting off security operations, I should say, TVs and cameras, bulldozing their way through the rest of the border, running trucks, motorcycles, right into Israel, gunning down people left and right, going into a communication center, shutting it down. And how they had some of that intel will take a while to get a clear understanding. Obviously, Israel is working on that. But right now, they also have to deal with what's happening in the Gaza Strip and with those being held hostage. There's a leading Israeli expert on Palestinian issues, Kobi Michael, and he said our country's policymakers have misunderstood the aims of Hamas for the past several years. I want you to hear some of this. I'm not sure how much I buy it. It's part of a CNN report, an interview they did with him. Kobi Michael also predicting that Israel's military operations in Gaza might take months, and Hezbollah in Lebanon will probably avoid a full-scale war with Israel. I hope he's right with that, that even though Hezbollah has fired rockets into Israel from Lebanon, and Israel has responded that it will not escalate. Hezbollah is much better trained, has many more weapons and munitions and rockets than Hamas does, so we would not want to see it escalate beyond that. Michael has served as an Israeli intelligence officer focusing on Palestinian issues for about 30 years. He was an Arabic-speaking intel officer when appointed as a commander of the Israeli-Palestinian Security Coordination of the Gaza Strip. So he knows that area as well. Well, in a conversation with CNN, he explained he thought the goal of the Hamas attack and how peace could ultimately be reached between Israelis and Palestinians. For one thing, he pointed out the commander of the brigades overseeing Hamas right now would be a guy named Mohammed Dif. He said he's not a cat with seven lives. He's got nine lives, a terrorist from the first days of the brigades in the Gaza Strip. He said Israel tried to target him several times. He was injured, losing a hand, an eye, and other organs, but he's still alive and still thinking, adding that he's very wise, very determined, dedicated, determined about his mission on earth, and he's willing to die. Obviously, we see that by what's happened to him as they tried to target him. Now, he claims that this terrorist, Mohammed Dif, has no connections or very few with the outside world. And yet he's the most influential figure in Hamas from the military point of view, also influential with the political leadership of Hamas in the Gaza Strip. He said, but we have to understand an operation cannot be realized without two crucial capabilities that Hamas is not capable of producing. The first is the intelligence factor. The second, the ability, is the technological factor. Only specific states can provide such abilities. The only state that is capable and willing to provide such capabilities to Hamas is Iran. I just told you he spent 30 years in intel and has awareness of the Gaza Strip and Hamas and what they've got and what they don't. And he says, I believe Iran is deeply involved in this operation. Of course, Iran's government has praised the Hamas attack, but denied it was involved. So the question was, why Hamas, why would it attack now? His answer, that was, what was the strategic aim of such an operation, considering they knew the price tag would be high? They were endangering their very existence? He's asking the question himself. He said, I'm sure Hamas was sure the shock and horror of this operation and the casualties they would cause would be interpreted by all Palestinians. This was a sign from God. This was a time to open all the battlegrounds to fight Israel, and this would be the end of the state of Israel. They were sure about it. Again, this is an Israeli intelligence officer for 30 years in the intel of the Israelis, saying they probably had that in view, and maybe that is why they were taking all these videos of the horrific video, they were leaving dead bodies in the streets and going overboard in the brutality and attacking civilians and chopping heads off of babies. Maybe they wanted to be clear that the entire state of Israel will be destroyed and it would rally the others with them. He's saying, I believe this was the rationale behind the operation. He said, because the operation was conducted by more than 2,000 terrorists from a special unit of Hamas. He said, the attack was not intended to release Hamas prisoners held in Israeli jails. The objective was much bigger. It was to encourage Palestinians in the West Bank and all around Israel to open other battlefronts against Israeli targets. He said, we have to admit that they did succeed in their brutality. That was very clear in what they did. Kobe Michael, a leading Israeli expert on Palestinian issues. There's an opinion piece I also found that, again, it's from CNN. This is an opinion piece. It's obviously going to be the opinion of the person writing. But what they were looking at is to the terrorist activity we've seen already when Hamas went in and why such barbaric actions were taking place. Well, the former intel officer we were reading from then gave you a good idea that they wanted it to appear to be so barbaric that everyone would join in everywhere, go against Israelis and Jews. And it begins by referring to, we live in the first period in history, which there was a full awareness of cruelty and killing as they happen. As a British philosopher, Jonathan Glover, wrote it in 1999. He then wrote in his book, Humanity, A Moral History of the 20th Century, he said, we can start to establish a tradition with our knowledge of atrocities. We find them intolerable and do what we can to eradicate them, or we can continue to help a tradition which accepts them fatalistically. One of those following all this, pointing out again as to how the Hamas terrorists went not only after soldiers, but civilians, posting videos, social media. They wanted the world to see the evidence of who they targeted, how they hunted them down, and traumatized, brutalized Israelis of all ages. And, of course, took hostages back to Gaza, literally, in some cases, dragging them through the streets. Frieda Gaitis was writing about Hamas launching these thousands of rockets, and yet at the same time were making sure they killed with as much brutality as they could. Not just enough to shoot them, but behead them. I saw a story yesterday that a mother and father, their two sons and their daughter, were all found in one bed in their house. They apparently had nowhere to run. They had no way to fight back. They all gathered together in the bed, and the father lay over the top of them, holding them all, clutching, and that's where they were found, embracing each other in death. And another story about a Israeli man and woman who were planning to get married in the very near future. So on the phone with some friends saying what's happening and then telling them they're coming. I've got to get off the phone. Never heard from again. And then their bodies are found. Hamas did everything it could to show how brutal it could be. And despite that, we have Missouri Congresswoman Bush and others calling for Israel to show restraint at this point. There was a BBC interview with Douglas Murray. He's a political analyst, also on this very touchy subject.
No electricity, there's no running water, there is no food going in, there are no other fuel supplies going in. Is that, and while raining down missiles on buildings which they know are going to kill civilians, is that a reasonable, proportionate and moral response by Israel?
There is some deep perversion in Britain whenever Israel is involved in a conflict, and it is the word you just used, proportion. I've heard it for the last few days incessantly. Proportionality in conflict rarely exists.
Rarely exists. He's got more to add on that. But it's when he said there's some kind of deep contrast in Britain. Well, it's not just there. It is in this country. In this country, and is being led by elected representatives, Missouri Congresswoman Bush, along with AOC, Ayanna Pressley, Congressman Bowman, and others. Congresswoman Bush introduced her resolution and got them to sign on what is called the Ceasefire Now resolution, calling for de-escalation, immediate ceasefire in Israel and occupied Palestine, and for humanitarian assistance to be urgently delivered to those trapped in Gaza. I don't see her calling out Hamas for still holding Gaza residents that need humanitarian aid. I don't see her calling them out for the brutality they cause to Israeli citizens, even babies. What role did a baby have to do with this debate and battle over territory? Nothing, except being born in Israel. And yes, as she is concerned, and as you heard the BBC broadcaster almost state the words for Cori Bush and the others, look, there's so much bombing going on in the Gaza Strip, and folks are not getting water and food, and then they might be killed in these bombings, and almost in agreement with Cori Bush that they need to cease fire. Now, earlier you heard Dov Hikein. He's the founder of the Americans Against Anti-Semitism. saying there's not going to be any ceasefire until we do what we intended to do. Benjamin Netanyahu stated, we will exterminate Hamas. I don't know that they will fully be able to do so, but they're going to do their best at this point. But again, you've got members of our own Congress calling out for things like Congressman Bowman. The events that have unfolded over the past week in Israel and Gaza are horrifying violations of human rights and international law. I ask you, sir, which came first, the horrifying events in Israel or Gaza? No answer? Well, you go back to the letter that Cori Bush wrote with her resolution. I am grieving for every Palestinian, Israeli, and American caught in this violence. This is an American representative. And she puts the Americans last about her concern in her statement. And puts the Palestinians first. Hamas is made up of Palestinians. Not every Palestinian is in Hamas, but every member of Hamas is a Palestinian. And they did this because of a border war over Israel should not be here. And as I was reading to you earlier from a CNN opinion piece, or rather comments from a Israeli expert on intel, he said they were doing what they did in the most horrific fashion possible, believing it would send a signal to Palestinians around the world, this is the time to eradicate all Jews everywhere. So if you're looking for proportion in a battle, as you heard the Dave Murray, the political analyst on that BBC interview, saying you're never going to achieve that because it's an unshakable ground, but if you're going to, listen to this.
But if we were to decide that we should have this fetish about proportionality, then that would mean that in retaliation for what Hamas did in Israel on Saturday, Israel should try to locate a music festival in Gaza, for instance, and good luck with that, should try to find a music festival in Gaza and rape precisely the number of women that Hamas raped on Saturday, kill precisely the number of young people that Hamas killed on Saturday. They should find a town of exactly the same size as a town like Sderot, where I've been many times myself, and make sure they go to door to door and kill precisely the correct number of babies that Hamas killed in Sderot on Saturday, and shoot in the head precisely the same number of old age pensioners as were shot in Sderot on Saturday, just to choose one town. Proportionality in conflict is a joke.
It is a joke if you're trying to achieve it in that fashion. And one more point to keep in mind appears by Wall Street journalist, columnist Walter Russell Mead. Says, arguing the policy of trying to appease Iran, followed by Presidents Barack Obama and Joe Biden, led directly to the Hamas terrorist attack on Israel and where we are now. When you're showing weakness, trying to appease, offering them everything they wanted, he said, Iran is unappeasable. But this truth is too inconvenient for the Biden administration to admit. So they continue to minimize Tehran's involvement with and responsibility for the murders. He said Iran at this point seems to have little fear from the Biden administration. And there puts us all in trouble. That statement, I believe it. And it does put us all in trouble. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.